This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have an episode for you about Thousand Island dressing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Was there any particular reason this was on your mind, Lauren?
I don't think there was. I think I was, maybe it was on our list, or maybe I was just sort of browsing aimlessly.
Mm-hmm. As we do.
Through lists of foodstuffs and came across, I was like, oh, this story is weird. Or the number of stories about it is weird. All of the stories by themselves are pretty, you know, pretty average in terms of weirdness. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I have to say, I had to have a real, like, let me sit with this for a minute, because originally I was like, no, hate Thousand Island.
Yeah.
But then I was like, I think you're thinking of ranch.
Oh.
And I'm actually not sure I have a clear, I'm sure I've had it, but I'm not sure I have a clear association taste with Thousand Island. And I've always avoided it because of my dislike of ranch and mayo. So I think I might be cool with it. I'm going to give it, because I had a whole thing in here that I deleted. And I was like, wait, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's definitely dissimilar from ranch in that ranch tends to be white in color and Thousand Island tends to be pink to orange in color. So like right. It's visually pretty immediately identifiable as not ranch.
Right. But I feel like also, I know I've told this story before, but for me, Red Lobster was a fancy place that you went. Mm-hmm. And when they would give you the salad before your meal, you had two options. And it was vinaigrette, which I always got. And then I believe the other one was Thousand Island, but I always thought it was ranch for some reason. So they've just become really conflated in my brain. But I always went for the vinaigrette, and my brothers and dad always went for the ranch / Thousand Island, which I also thought had an S at the end of it. So if I make that mistake, I apologize. I thought it was Thousand Islands.
Well, the name of the island chain is Thousand Islands. The name of the dressing is singular.
Trying to confuse me. Trip me up. And they certainly did. I had to go back in and check it several times. Do you have any love for the Thousand Island dressing?
I don't think I've ever had it on a salad. I think I've only ever had it as a sandwich topping. I am pretty familiar with a Reuben, pretty familiar, or not like, yeah, like as like a burger topping. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, which we'll touch on very briefly, but I didn't realize it was such a big sandwich topping.
Mm-hmm.
Well, past episodes, you can see ranch mm-hmm. with our good friend Ben Bolin, who came out very strongly against ranch. Yeah, mayo, in which I came out very strongly against mayo. Ketchup, Worcestershire sauce. Iceberg lettuce. We have done an episode on Caesar, right? Caesar salad.
I think so. Yeah,
I believe we have. I think we have. I'm going to go with we have. And that's just how it is. Well,
there's no way of finding out. So
there's no way. I feel like I remember pretty clearly talking about the difference between Caesar salad that I probably had at Red Lobster and Caesar salad, that like good Caesar salad. Well, that sounds bad. Like a nice, the dressing when it's like fresh.
Yeah.
All right. I'm digging myself in a hole. Let's talk about Thousand Island. This brings us to our question. Yes?
Sure. Yes, definitely. Yeah. Come away. Come away from the hole, Annie.
Yes. Thousand Island dressing. What is it?
Well, a Thousand Island dressing is a type of condiment that can be made a number of ways, but you're typically looking at a base of mayonnaise flavored with tomato ketchup and Worcestershire sauce and given a little bit of a pop with some fine chopped pickles. This will create this like thick, creamy, tangy, lightly sweet, slightly salty and funky condiment with a little bit of textural interest and a kind of pinkish orange color. You can add a lot of other flavorings and mix-ins to make it tangier or sweeter or spicy or kind of piquant to taste. It's served chilled as a dressing for fresh leafy salads, particularly with crunchy iceberg lettuce. It's also used as a topping on usually hot sandwiches and then as a dip for like French fries or whatever else you like dipping. It's sort of fun because it has these contrasting flavors and textures built in. But it's also fairly gentle. Like, it's just nice. It adds a little something. Eating it is like going to a playground with no sharp corners. Like, and that good, like, rubbery ground cover, you know? Like mm-hmm. not like the playgrounds that we grew up with, but this one wants you to have, like, a nice time.
Aw. That is true. I have some playground memories where I'm like, I'm not sure how that flew.
Yeah, and nothing but wood chips that you could get the best splinters on. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
As far as the eye could see.
Oh, dear.
Okay. Thousand Island. Let's break down those ingredients a little bit. So, mayo is a creamy condiment that's made without cream by emulsifying egg yolk and oil with some kind of acid, usually vinegar or lemon juice. So it's thick and creamy and a little bit tangy. You could sub in other similar dressing bases if you wanted to. Ketchup is a smooth, seasoned, like cooked down tomato puree that brings more tang and some sweetness and saltiness. Worcestershire is a savory, salty, fermented liquid sauce traditionally made with fish and spices. Pickles, in this case meaning pickled cucumbers, of course come in like a lot of flavor ranges from tart to sweet. People use whatever their preference is. And when they're chopped fine and distributed throughout the dressing, it's sort of like the bubbles in bubble tea, almost. Just like a tiny little pop crunch of flavor. But as I said, that is just the beginning. The pickle element is, in fact, often pickle relish, which is a prepared condiment of chopped pickles, often mixed with other chopped veg, like sweet or spicy peppers or onions. Other mix-ins include those things on their own or fine-chopped hard-boiled egg, olive, nuts, garlic, or fresh herbs. You can add tomato paste or even tomato soup concentrate, either instead of or in addition to the ketchup. You can spice it up a bit with some hot sauce or chili sauce or mustard or black pepper. You can give it more tang with a squeeze of whatever fresh citrus you like or your preferred vinegar. You can season it with paprika, which also adds a little bit more red-orange color in there, yeah? Or celery seed, or sweeten it with sugar. I have also seen recipes that argue that ketchup does not belong in it at all, or that chili sauce is necessary, or like any number of other variations. People have opinions about this one. We love opinions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, here in the States, it is really common as a sauce on like heavier, usually beef-based sandwiches, burgers, Reubens, patty melts, salty, meaty things like that. Yeah, to provide a pop of flavor and a creamy barrier between the bread and any juicy ingredients to like keep the bread from going soggy. Yeah. A lot of fast food joints like McDonald's and In-N-Out include it on their sort of fancier than standard burgers, usually. Yes, it is the special sauce on a Big Mac. It can be considered a little bit old-fashioned, but in like a classic, dependable sort of way, I think. It's definitely offered as a salad dressing in like traditional American restaurants like steakhouses and family diners and buffets. People love it on a heck and wedge salad, y'all. And it is also used in cold chopped salads like coleslaw or potato or pasta salad sometimes. Yeah. There are several brands of dressings that offer shelf-stable variants, but it's also made at home. I understand it's also available commercially in other parts of the world where it sometimes goes by other names. Hmm. If this sounds familiar, and it's a little bit more than like fry sauce. I know that fry sauce is a thing, but this is like fry sauce with stuff. So, yeah. Y'all have to let us know. It is also very similar to some other American salad dressings, like so-called Russian dressing, which tends to be spicier with ingredients like horseradish, and French dressing, which usually doesn't call for mayo and is only sometimes creamy. Yeah. Neither, by the way, have any particular ties to Russia or to France, but...
Of course. Of course not. Well, what about the nutrition?
Really depends on how it's made. It can be calorically dense if it's got a bunch of oil and sugar in it. You know, like watch your portion sizes. Eat a vegetable. If that vegetable is a wedge salad that you've poured Thousand Island dressing over, then you're on your way. You're doing a good job.
You're on your way. It does remind me of sort of the like those party platters you get, and it's got like raw broccoli and cauliflower and all that stuff, and then it's ranch dressing.
Yeah.
And it's like the only way we can eat these things
is by tricking us with, right, yeah.
Yeah, yes. Well, we do have some numbers for you.
We've got a couple. All right. So I've seen Thousand Island dressing listed as like either the fourth or fifth most popular salad dressing in the U.S. And this dressing is named for an archipelago, a chain of islands on the St. Lawrence River, which is what connects North America's Great Lakes in between the U.S. and Canada with the Atlantic Ocean to the east. These islands are pretty far inland, and there are officially 1,864 of them along a stretch of about 50 miles of river. That's about 80 kilometers. And if you're wondering what counts, the Thousand Islands include any bit of land that in this area that peaks up above the waterline all year round and is home to at least one living tree.
Wow. Specific.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we do have quite a complicated and messy history for you.
We do. And we are going to get into that as soon as we get back from a quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick.
I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, yes. So Lauren warned me when suggesting this topic. It's a lot of stories behind Thousand Island Dressing. Okay, but there are two main theories about the origins. And we're going to go into some of the other theories as well. You're just going to get a sampling of all these theories.
Yeah, a little smatter. Yeah.
A little smatter that you might dunk into some dressing, you know, like a pipe. So, and also I'm like begging listeners to write in about any of this. But the story you'll get if you go on a boat tour of this island chain, which is between New York and Canada, known as the Thousand Islands, is that the namesake dressing was once a very bougie item. It was like for the rich. The story goes that sometime in the early 1900s, while visiting their summer palace... /home, but kind of a palace.
Kind of a palace
located on one of these islands, Bolt Castle. George Bolt, who was the owner of the Waldorf Astoria, and his wife Louise were out on a leisurely yacht ride. When time for lunch arrived, the chef at the Bolt Castle, Oscar Shearcree, realized he'd forgotten the dressing for the salad.
Yeah.
Yes. So he looked at the ingredients that he did have, and he set to work whipping up something that was composed of mayo, ketchup, Worcestershire sauce, and a hard-boiled egg. And there you go. Thousand Island dressing is born. There are a lot of variations just on this particular story.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's actually really fascinating, and it was one of those things where I had to keep reminding myself we are a food show. But according to some sources, the Bolts loved the dressing so much that they... were the ones that gave it the name because they loved the Thousand Islands so much that they named the dressing after it. And over the years, they served it at many gatherings, and the chef that created it became a chef at the Waldorf Astoria, where it was popularized. And yeah, you can still see this castle, by the way. It's still a popular tourist destination. According to legend, George was head over heels in love with Louise and commissioned this castle on a heart-shaped island. I believe they made it into a heart-shaped island.
Wow.
Yes, and there were supposed to be many hearts that would be placed throughout. However, she allegedly died before she ever saw it finished, and George refused to ever step foot on the island again. So in that version of the story, they were visiting, like, the construction site when this happened. Yes. Again, listeners, if you've ever been... please write in.
Yeah. It sounds, from the descriptions I've read, it sounds a lot like, oh, heck, what's the big manor house in Asheville, outside of Asheville?
The Biltmore.
It sounds to me a lot like the Biltmore in terms of just like the era when it was constructed and the era of construction that it was based on being centuries apart.
Right.
And just like rich people being like, you know what? I deserve a castle. Let me build one right here. Yeah.
Yes. And this area was a very popular place for rich people to go vacation or build homes during this time. Yeah. And they still, a lot of those islands are owned by families that purchased them up around this time, from what I understand. So Sounds nice. I'd like to visit myself one day.
Sure. Yeah.
However, though, some dispute this tale as more of a fun tourism story as opposed to, like, the actual truth.
Mm-hmm.
One big dissenter is a fishing guide from the area named Alan Bennis. I couldn't find the pronunciation of the name, so I hope that's close. He claims to have found the original recipe for Thousand Island in the Herald Hotel, which he purchased in 1972. And the Herald Hotel, which was later renamed the Thousand Islands Inn Hotel, is a restaurant and inn located in the small tourist town of Clayton, New York. According to Bennis, he found a recipe in a safe. It was a single sheet of paper for Sophia's sauce. Sophia and her husband, George Lalonde, used to own the inn towards the end of the 19th century. So Bennis, he showed the cooks the recipe, and they were like, yeah, that's Thousand Island. Yeah. Essentially. And Bennis's version of the story, which I couldn't really verify, if it sounded to me like this is just what he thought, but didn't necessarily have stuff to back it up. Sophia would make this dressing for her husband to dip fish in, who would share it with local fishermen. At one point, he shared it with actress Mae Irwin, who vacationed in the area and would go on George's fishing trips with him. And Irwin loved it and convinced them to give her the recipe. And she, in turn, shared the recipe with the Bolts.
Huh.
Yes. Also, again, we're a food show, but I got really into reading about her life. it's very interesting.
Yeah. Like vaudeville star and early film star. So super interesting.
Mm-hmm. Bennis started bottling Sophia's dressing and sells it at local stores. One thing that really tickled me about this, though, is according to the most recent owner, only three people have seen, I believe three or four people have seen the actual piece of paper.
Huh.
But you can, like, see it online. I don't know. It just kind of cracked me up. okay, so others suspect both of these stories could have elements of truth and may have happened separately and simultaneously-ish, especially because at the time, with the advent of refrigerated train cars, America was really going all in on salads, and that entailed experimenting with a lot of dressings. And mayo was a popular ingredient for this because it covered the bitter flavors of some varieties of greens, especially in the New York area in this case. And at the time, it was still difficult to get fresh greens, so salads were associated with the rich.
Yeah. Russian and French dressings also came about during this period.
Yes. In one alternate version of the Sophia story, the Lalondes were not owners of the inn, but Sophia shared it with the owners at the time, the Bertrand family, who then passed it on to Mae Irwin.
Oh.
The letter that contains the original recipe was from Sophia to the groundskeeper of the inn. It sounds like a lot of people wanted it, is what I'm getting.
Sure, yeah.
Yes. Irwin's letter, meanwhile, of this recipe that documents this recipe is in the Thousand Islands Museum and specifies that it was served at Bolt Castle and also this hotel. Yes. Okay. As we mentioned, though, these are not the only theories, the contenders at all.
Nope. Another local story tells of this French chef who wound up working for Bolt, contributing a recipe for this lemon orange onion vinaigrette with olives and Worcestershire sauce in it to Shirkri's kitchen. And then Shirkri, taking the name that this French guy had come up with for the dressing, Thousand Island Dressing, and eventually applied that name to his own mayo ketchup dressing.
Uh-huh. Well, another theory comes out of the Blackstone Hotel in Chicago, where Chef Theo Rooms claimed he invented Thousand Island dressing for the 1910 grand opening of that hotel. In 1925, Rooms was given an award for this creation, an award that is now housed in the Chicago Culinary Museum. And in 1915, a newspaper published a recipe for what they called Blackstone dressing.
Another Chicago theory involves the head chef of the Drake Hotel. And this story goes that this chef's wife came up with the name for the dressing because the chopped bits in it reminded her of the Thousand Islands.
Yeah, Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was a whole PBS documentary that came out in 2012 that set out to solve the mystery of the true origin story. They sway towards the Sophia story, but, you know.
I love that.
Meanwhile, however it came about, it was pretty popular in the early 1900s on recipes for what we would recognize today as Thousand Island dressing were appearing in print as early as 1912 in newspapers from Dallas, Texas, and Kansas City, Missouri. So... other side of the country, kind of, but yeah, fascinating. Yeah, and it began showing up in cookbooks by about 1916.
Yeah, and still popular today. Here in America, as you said, often in sandwiches. And if you're curious about how Riffs of Thousand Island ended up on so many fast food sandwiches, it's a future episode. I wanted to, like, go over some of the hits, but I was like, no, I can't do this. So future episode. But the short answer is that many people think it isn't thanks to the popularity of the Reuben, which typically features either Thousand Island dressing or Russian dressing. And so it was like, oh, it works on a sandwich. What other sandwiches can we add it to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like it just lends itself to it.
It does, yeah. I mean, it's a little bit more flavorful than straight mayo and still gives you a nice lipid barrier, you know, between juicy ingredients on the sandwich and the bread. So, yeah.
Yeah, makes sense. Makes sense. Well, again, listeners, if you have been to any of these museums, these places...
Mm-hmm.
Please let us know.
Yeah, and if any of y'all listeners from other parts of the world or who have traveled, if you have seen this dressing other places, I would love to know what other parts of the world think about it. It seems very American to me. It seems like very heckin' American. But, you know, everyone likes a creamy dip, right?
Yes. Oh, yes. I remember many a frites experience when I was in Brussels, and it's just like 24 sauces I can dip my fries into.
Yeah.
And plenty of them were creamy. Yes. Oh, so good. Well, yeah, that is what we have to say about Thousand Island dressing for now.
Yep. We do already have some listener mail for you, though, and we are going to get into that as soon as we get back from one more quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old.
Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with Listener Mail. Yes.
Yeah.
Island tour.
Yeah. Right?
Hey. a nice salad. You're out on like these islands.
Oh,
I
yeah.
think. A breeze going.
Yeah, come on. Good crisp salad. Oh, that sounds lovely.
It does sound lovely. Speaking of, we have gotten some really amazing emails
yes.
about carrot cake. I'm so happy about this. This is only a taste, more to come. But we have two for you today. Both include pictures. Barbie wrote, I just listened to the carrot cake episode and your references to carrot cake being old-fashioned. My husband and I had carrot cake for our wedding in January 1989. It was his favorite flavor, and the cake was delicious. Mm. The bride and groom on top were penguin candles. It's a priceless memory. Thank you for reminding me. I have attached photos. And the cake is beautiful. It is glorious.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it looks like ice-themed, like snow and ice. And it's like tiered.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some very adorable penguins on top.
Yeah, yeah, just little round buddies, just being round.
Yes.
Just love them.
They're so adorable.
Oh my gosh, really cute.
Yes, thank you for sharing that memory.
Yes. Oh, Evan wrote, I just listened to the carrot cake episode and felt the need to share a pic of the carrot cake my partner made me for my birthday last year, decorated with real candied rainbow carrots. They were beautiful and delicious, a bit sweet to eat them all, but we'll workshop them for this year. Real carrots can be used to decorate. Also, a carrot cake with buttercream or any frosting other than cream cheese is objectively wrong. I've added a pic of our dog, Archer, with his favorite after-dinner snack because I'll take any chance to show him off. He was effing stoked. His face says, take the picture already so I can get paid.
Oh, I love it. So this is in reference to, we were talking about how carrot cake is usually one of the few desserts that has a image of carrots on it to denote. It is a
carrotiness.
Carrot cake.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
So you don't normally, it's harder to put like real carrots as opposed to like strawberries
yeah.
on a cake.
Or like chocolate shavings or something. But yeah.
This is a beautiful.
you're just in awe over there. Yeah. So what's going on with this cake is that there are little kind of like rosettes made out of like long strings of carrot, you know, I'm assuming that what happened, and I did see recipes for this when we were doing the reading, but right, like you take like a long thin peeling or strip of carrot and soak it in sugar, like sugar water for a while, and then yeah, just kind of roll it up and put it on top of the cake. And if you get them in multiple colors, then they can be really lovely. Yeah, it's a great idea, and it still doesn't really say carrot to me in the way that a little cartoony frosting carrot does.
Right.
But I love the concept.
I do too, and it's really beautiful. There's a couple different colors of carrot going on here, just very artfully decorated,
yeah.
And it's very creative, and I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. Hats off to your partner.
Indeed. And I do love your strong opinion about buttercream or any other frosting.
Yeah.
Other than cream cheese.
Yeah.
It's important.
Yeah, stick to your guns, man. Absolutely.
Yeah. And Archer is adorable. So.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. well, Thanks to both of these listeners for writing in. If you would like to write to us, you can. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We're also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SaverPod, and we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.